Today, we meet to remember the Shoah. Possibly the first question will be, Shoah? Don't you mean Holocaust? When I was a kid, and I'll be talking more about that in just a moment, it was indeed called the Holocaust. The truth is that most people still call it the Holocaust, but many don't, and I number myself among them. For us, it is the Shoah, for this reason. Holocaust comes from the Greek, not in and of itself a problem. Lots of good Greek words out there. But Holocaust means burnt offering. Shoah comes from the Hebrew, not in and of itself any better than any other word, but Shoah means catastrophe. And for me, I would prefer to reference what happened in World War II as a catastrophe rather than a burnt offering. Yom HaShoah is a day to remember what was indeed a catastrophe. While one of my uncles was killed in action in World War II, I lost no family members to the Shoah. Still, my connection to it is rather personal, and I'd like to share it with you. I come from a family of four: my mom, my dad, my sister, and me. I was a pretty happy child. I always felt safe. We had a house, we had food. I knew my mom and dad loved me. My grandparents loved me. We had friendly neighbors. Okay, I wasn't the healthiest kid in the world, but I was safe and happy. The world was my oyster. One night at dinner, the Holocaust, which is what we called it then, was the subject for conversation between my mom and dad. It would have been in the early 1950s. I don't know what the occasion was, and I'm sure the family must have talked about the Holocaust before then. But this was the first time that I was old enough to grasp it. The horror of it, the enormity of it. 6 million Jews, hunted down, stripped of all dignity, and murdered. I wasn't old enough to know what a Jew was, but I was old enough to know that I was Jewish. 6 million people like me, whatever like me meant, 6 million had been slaughtered. In all honesty, 6 million was just a large number. In many ways, it probably still is. But it was estimated that there had been 18 million Jews on planet Earth before Hitler. 6 million dead, my father explained, was one of every three on the planet. One in three, I could understand. My family held my father, my sister, my mother. One in three meant one of them. One in three Jews on the planet murdered. That I could grasp, and it was shattering. That was the day, that was the moment that my world ceased to be safe. I believe that many who are not Jewish make the mistake of not realizing that Yom HaShoah, as well as honoring and remembering those who died, is also a reminder to those who live that the world is not a safe place for a Jew. The Holocaust, the Shoah, was, if you will, a culmination of 2,000 years of oppression, discrimination, isolation, beatings, and much too often, murders, particularly in Europe and east into Russia. And from the Shoah, there rose a cry, "Never again." And that's really where I'd like us to dwell into this morning. Never again. Never again. What does that mean? What do we want it to mean? As I was growing up, I was rather baffled and indeed, in the end, quite honestly put off by the fact that most Jews meant by never again that we are not going to let that happen to us, to Jews, ever again. I would submit that whatever the transgression, whatever the crime, if never again refers only to us as opposed to them, whoever us is at the moment, it loses all value. Never again loses meaning. You've heard me say it many times before. I know. But there is no them. There is no them. There is only us, the human family. As I ponder the day that I learned the world was not safe, I am moved to wonder about others who are not a part of the privileged class. It would be an interesting discussion, and I think enlightening, to ponder and to share with each other what those moments were like when we realized that the world was not a safe place for us. When, just as one example, a girl, because of a boy at school or a relative or the actions of a stranger, learns that in our culture and so many others, her world is not a safe place. What she felt on that day, or a person of color, or a Muslim child in the United States after 9/11. For me, I cannot reflect upon the Shoah and not remember the Armenian genocide of 1915, and that was just the beginning of a century of genocides, ethnic cleanings. It continues today. The horrific, intensely sick idea that we can solve all our problems if we'll just wipe them off the face of the earth. This continues to this moment on every corner of the planet. I believe deeply and passionately that never again needs to mean never again. Not to Jews, not to Muslims, not to Christians, not to Baha'i, not to Armenians, not to any group. We are in this together, or we sink as a species together. Particularly as a Jew, when I hear other Jews talk about the Palestinians as subhuman, I go nuts. I go nuts. I want to take them by the lapels and shout, "Have you learned nothing?" For me, the thought of wiping the Palestinians off the face of the earth is every bit as repugnant as the thought of wiping the Israelis off the face of the earth. People have rights, human rights, all people, even and perhaps especially those we disagree with, or those we perceive as somehow different. This is why it is so important to me to have a service where we honor Yom HaShoah. There is so much noise in the world. Yom HaShoah is a time, if we will make the time, to reflect upon the Shoah, the catastrophe. And I would suggest, when we speak of the Shoah, we are much too facile in simply blaming Hitler and the Nazis. The people of Denmark, bless them, proved when they stuck their collective fingers in Hitler's eyes and said no, that the Shoah was only possible because the world permitted it. I strongly believe that what made the Shoah possible was not Hitler or the Nazis. When we call Hitler and his minions evil, it makes it so easy to dismiss the fact that evil is only possible when good people are willing to sit on their hands. What made the Shoah possible was our infernal propensity to divide ourselves into them and us. It is why the Shoah is not a one-time thing. It is why, up to this moment, that never again rings so very hollow. To this day, We live in a world of hate. We also live in a world of hurt, and it's no coincidence the two go together. It is so much easier to hurt those we hate. Hate gives us permission to demean, to dehumanize, to destroy. If we would heal our world, I believe we must step back from constantly dividing ourselves. We must step back from dehumanizing those we disagree with. It is possible for one human being to disagree with another human being. To disagree with another person does not make that person subhuman. I listen to our political discourse, and I'm being serious here. I listen to how we characterize those we disagree with, and I fear for our future. I fear for our humanity. I would ask us to take this day of remembrance, this Yom HaShoah, to reconnect with our humanity and with the humanity of those around us. If we cannot do this, then never again is an empty slogan. Never again will happen. Again. And again. The voices of division are strong and loud and incessant. But I choose to work to make never again real. I ask you to join with me. Let not Jew, nor Muslim, nor Christian, nor Baha'i, nor any other, not because of race, nor spiritual path, nor any other division we may invent, be branded as less than human. I'd like to close with the words of Elie Wiesel. They are from his Nobel Prize-winning acceptance speech. He says, "And then I explained to him how naive we were, that the world did know and remained silent. And that is why I swore never to be silent whenever and wherever human beings endure suffering and humiliation. We must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim." He continues, "There is so much to be done. There is so much that can be done. As long as one dissident is in prison, our freedom will not be true. As long as one child is hungry, our life will be filled with anguish and shame. What all these victims need above all is to know that they are not alone, that we are not forgetting them, that when their voices are stifled, we shall lend them ours, that while their victory depends on their freedom, depends on ours, the quality of our freedom depends on theirs." With that thought, let us sing our final hymn. It is a hymn of hope. Always, always, we have the choice to sit in despair or to hope. And as we hope, if we will choose to hope, let us not sit there mindlessly praying for some miracle. Let us be the miracle. Little by little, day by day, inch by inch, may we not only be the bearers of hope, but the bringers of change. Amen.